to you. Welcome. Great to see you this morning. The theme of our time together this morning is questions. And we're going to be looking at that from the Word of God this morning, particularly questions that Jesus asked of his followers. Questions Jesus asked of his followers. So I'll ask you a question this morning. How are you? Oh, good. Good, well. Those are the two words I heard. Anything else? Good, well. Great. Happy. Blessed. Joyful. What? I didn't hear that. Okay, all right. Tim and Karen are on holidays, as you know, and I want to suggest they're looking down on us this morning because they're up at Montville, so that's got to come down, haven't you, Graham and Judy, to get here. Particularly, it's great to have Judy Hall back with us this morning. They let her out of quarantine. And there's one man up there who's very happy to have her home as well. But we're glad to have her back as part of our family this morning. Any visitors that are visiting us this morning, great to have you. But particularly I'd like to welcome Ash Moore, our family store manager from Calandra Road, and his wife Sam. Great to have you. And if you wonder who this young man is on the guitar, that's their son, Aman. It's great to have him out supporting us with music this morning. But anyone else that's here for the first time, welcome. Great to see you. I remind you of our guidelines in relation to COVID safety this morning, which are on the newsletter. I say again, welcome. Great to see you. We're the family of God. And as we worship, God is with us by his Holy Spirit. And Jan is going to lead us in the call to worship.
This day is a gift from God. A day to reflect, to offer thanks. A time to pause from the fever of life. A time to be with one another. What do you bring to worship today? The burdens of the week? The longings of your heart? Faith that might have been tested during this past week? Prayers that are still unanswered? Questions about issues impacting your life? Gratitude for blessings from God? Yes, we bring all this and more to God, and we bring ourselves as we gather to worship and praise God our Father, Jesus our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit our Helper. God is waiting to meet with us. Are you ready to meet with God? Jesus waits to forgive, and the Holy Spirit is here to empower us. So, we've been given this gift of time and this day. Let us position ourselves to receive all of God's gifts today, and it begins with praise and thanksgiving.
Let's stand and sing our first song together, which is Majesty. And I think they got the words in your order of service there. Majesty. Can we have some keyboard? We're back again. Thank you. Works every time.
Majesty.
I lift your name on high, Lord. I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in.
Seated. This weekend in Australia, you may not be aware of it, but there's been lots of prayer rising up. Bishop Philip Huggins of the National Council of Churches, in cooperation with the National Day of Prayer and Fasting, called for a national solemn assembly, working together with Indigenous Christian leaders and the leaders of all denominations in Australia. The National Solemn Assembly has come about because of the verse in Joel chapter 1, verse 14, where it says this: announce a time of fasting, call the people together for a solemn meeting. So commencing 9 a.m. yesterday to 9 p.m, 9 a.m. today till 9 p.m. tonight, people from every denomination are praying and seeking God's face, as we are called to do in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. What a wonderful God we have. Today, that Zoom conference is calling for a time of refreshing, and healing of our land. As the scripture says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isn't that what we all want? Times of refreshing might come from the Lord. This is what Australia needs. And we are praying that Australia will get a revelation of the love of God through Jesus Christ, and that healing will come to our land. With that introduction, now I invite you to join me in prayer. Our loving Father God, first of all today, I want to thank you for this wonderful country of Australia. We are so blessed to inhabit this land, but we are very mindful that there is a need for all of us to seek your face each day and turn from our wicked ways. I pray for those who have been impacted by the pandemic and the ongoing consequences of COVID-19. We thank you for the hundreds who have survived the virus, and we mourn the loss of others who succumb to it. We pray for strength and patience for those who have had to endure lockdown and isolation and the pressure and stress that has brought to people. For those with troubled minds, please, Lord, may they turn to people who can assist them, bring them mental and emotional healing. Lord, we also pray for those in our land who struggle to survive for whatever reason, and for those who feel isolated. May someone reach out to them and support them and help them to realize they are valued and loved. Lord, I pray for those who carry wounds in their soul because of broken relationships, because of words spoken over them, because forgiveness has not been offered. Lord, you are the great physician. Please, may those who carry wounds turn to you for peace and comfort and healing. Lord, forgive our wicked ways. Please help us to bring comfort and cheer, faith, hope and love to those who are suffering. It is our prayer today that healing and times of refreshing will come to this land of Australia. Holy Spirit, rain down like never before as people repent and turn to you. And help us to be the salt and light that makes a difference in our world. May our worship today challenge us on the road to refreshing and healing for our land and for us as individuals. And I thank you in Jesus' name that I make this prayer. Amen. The children are an important part of our church family, and we're going to have kids' time now. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you kids? How's school holidays going?
Good, amazing.
Yay. Your what?
I wish it never ends.
Imogen wishes that school holidays never end. So we're halfway through school holidays, aren't we? Yeah? One more week to go. Now, who has some news that they would like to share with everyone? Kira?
Me and Emmy got some tattoos.
Kira got some tattoos. And Emmy, hold them up. Hold your arm up. Oh, cool. What are they, Emmy?
They're fake tattoos. And you put water, a cloth. And that's not all. I have something else. At home... Yesterday from Bunnings we got these lights, and when you sing or like talk they go with the beat, and like they can hear it, and then whenever you play music or something they hear it and then they go with the beat that it's like saying or singing or anything like that.
Wow. Super smart lights that bounce to the beat. Wow. Are they just at Bunnings? Awesome. Did anyone know that lights exist that do that? That can bounce and flicker to the beat? Yeah. We'll have to get some here. Okay, Justina, do you have any news that you want to tell everyone? Look out to everyone and you tell them.
We're going to see our lights after this in the Christmas holidays.
Going to see World Dad in the Christmas holidays or in the cool. Good job, Jacinta. That's awesome. How exciting. Has anyone else got any news? Do you want to share that? Okay. Anyone else have any news? Levi, do you have any news?
I went to Gympie and I saw my cousin Chili, my auntie, and they live at a farm, and they've got dogs, chickens, horses, yes, goats.
And cows?
Yes, they have cows, but they technically don't own them because someone else just uses their paddock for their cows.
Awesome. Lots happening. Oh, Kira's got some more news.
Today we got our tattoos from the shops. We got the tattoos from the shops.
Yeah, they come off, hey?
No,
just pictures.
They're not
papers. Awesome. So the kids are having Sophie.
At Gympie we went to craft club and made slime and lip balm.
Yeah, so lots of exciting things on the school holidays. So, if you guys would like to go up with Brittany and you are going to have some holiday fun during Kids Zone today. Enjoy the rest of your school holidays, kids.
Thanks, Jess, and thank you to the children. Great to have the children with us this morning. Time for chat in the chapel. Come on down, Scott Harvey. Great to have a young man to chat to in the chapel this morning. And would you believe, in line with the theme of our time together this morning, I'm going to ask him some questions. All right. So, by the way, my kids sometimes call me 20 questions because I got 20. But I'm not going to ask him 20 this morning. I've just got a few questions for chat in the chapel. Scott, pick up the blue one or the red one? Does it matter? Okay, see how we go.
Morning, James.
Gary, does it matter which mic? No. So he's got the blue. So, first question, who is Scott Harvey?
Well, James, I was brought up on a council estate in East London. Probably 25-minute walk. Was a famous pub. Infamous pub, actually. Gang murders and all sorts of horrible things. But there was a man by the name of William Booth who used to speak outside that pub. And if anyone doesn't know who William Booth is, he was a founder of the Salvation Army. And he founded it in 1878, I believe, thereabouts. And across the road from there was Whitechapel Hospital, where I was born. And a great friend of mine, as a kid, was born 6 months after I was in the same hospital, in the same ward. And he lived above me in the council estate. And our council estate was not a very nice place to be brought up in. He had a terrible heroin problem, and it was quite often when I'd come home from school, you'd be stepping over people in the stairwell as we was going to my unit. There'd be needles on the floor. It was nasty. It was horrible. Me and Colm, we had a very close bond. We used to play and test each other, test each other's courages and strengths. And a little story You know, we was good kids, but we were scallywags as well. And my mum always tells me the story. I can vaguely remember it. But we was about 6 or 7 years old, and we was walking along. My mum and his mum were best friends. They were both very young mums. My mum had me when she was 16, or 17 just. His mum was a slightly older, but in her late teens. And an ice cream van had come by. And I said, "Mum, can we have an ice cream?" And mum's chatting as they do, turned around and said, "No, you can't." So, okay. So me and Colin looked at each other with a cheeky grin, and we went to the ice cream van. And we ordered the biggest ice cream you can possibly order, with the flake and the sprinkles and everything. And he gave us the ice creams, and of course, we done the runner. And you can imagine my mum's horror as she's walking along with her friend, and they turn around to see where we are, and there's these two kids come running down the road with ice creams. In hot pursuit of us was the ice cream man with a very angry face. But yeah, we was good kids. And apart from that, we was good kids. I mean, what kept us out of the trouble? When I was 12 years old, we joined the local boys club. It's a Harbour Youth, is a boxing club. And there was a man there by the name of Jimmy Graham. He was quite a well-known trainer. He had a string of national champions. Charlie Magri went on to become a world champion. And we loved him. We loved Jimmy. He was a good man. And we never had fathers, you know, but he was a father to us. And he would correct us, you know. And a few years down the line, I remember when Colm unfortunately started to go wayward. On the estates, there was a massive gang culture as well. It was hard for young men not to be drawn into the gangs because the financial gains and the security and everything else. But you know, the boxing club kept us away from the drugs and the gangs up until that point, and Colm started to get dragged into that. And I always remember Jimmy pulling him to one side and really berating him. And I remember Colm, tears were streaming down his eyes, James. And it wasn't the fact because he was being told off. It was the fact because he knows in his heart he let him down. He let him down. And you know, that's for me, that was what a good father was. And he was a good man, he was a good father. And I would say that the bond that me and Colm had was a strong bond. You know, it was I think you can look at Philippi, is the Greek term for love, and you can read about it in 1 Samuel with Jonathan and David, the bond that they had with each other. And if anyone hasn't read that, you should read that. It's an amazing story. And I would say we had that type of bond.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, that's a little bit into the life of Scott Harvey. A few other people here born in England, but thank you. That's interesting too about the history. I've been to Whitechapel Road and to the Blind Beggar Pub where William Booth preached on the Quaker burial ground. Yes, okay. What's been the most difficult time in your life as you look back at your life? And I say you're a young man, and you are compared with me, so we'll make that comparison. But what's been the most difficult time in your life, Scott?
Well, there's been many, James.
Yeah, okay.
There's been many, but there's been a couple of really hard times in my life. Post-Christ,
yep,
was easier because I had Christ in my life, and I was able to withstand the pain and the sorrow a lot easier. The first one was about 13, 14 years ago. We was in a car crash, pretty bad car crash actually. A truck had hit the side of the car and it completely spun the car around. And I remember getting out the car and went straight over to the truck driver, very angry. And he wasn't even looking at me, which I thought was very strange. He was looking over my shoulder, and when I turned around, I just see the wreck of the car. And I realised my kids are in there. And I went to the car, forced the door open, and the car seat in the back was completely smashed in half. My son at the time was 3 years old, thereabouts. He was lifeless, little body was there. He had a hole in his head, probably an inch and a half in circumference. And I remember thinking, he's dead, he's gone. And I managed to get him out of the car, and his lifeless little body in my arms. And all of a sudden he opened his eyes. And I, wow, he's alive, he's alive. But then he kept drifting in and out of consciousness. And it was the worst feeling I've ever experienced in my life, James. And we rushed us to the hospital, and he had swelling on the brain, and we wasn't sure the damage that he sustained. We wasn't sure how he was going to recover from this horrific injury. But they gave him drugs to stop the swelling of the brain and so forth. And I remember while he was in surgery, because he had to go and have a lot of plastic surgery and who knows what else, but we wasn't sure. And I remember thinking to myself, what's going on? What am I going to do? You know, like, I remember going into the toilets and just probably for the first time in my life, I just fell onto my knees and I just prayed, if there's a God, please, please bring him back. Please bring him back. And
I know you know I'm talking about questions today, but that's so spot on. If there's a God, bring him back. Wow.
Yes. Mm. And the thing is, James, I was giving up everything. I was giving up drink, you name it. I was giving it all up, you know, if you could just answer my prayer, you know. And I, not that I drank much, but whatever it was, I was giving up. And I come out the toilet door, and who was there? Was the surgeon was there. He comes walking straight up to me. And he said, your son's okay. He's been successful. And my prayers was answered there and then. It was very eye-opening. But it took me many years after that, actually, to come to Christ. He'd been chasing me a long time.
That's my next question. You used the expression post-Jesus. So let me ask my last question for you. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Yeah.
Jesus to me is someone that I can rely on. He's someone that all my fears, dreams, promises, my broken hearts, everything, I can just unload it all on him. This week, my son, 16, he's gone on a camping trip with a load of lads his own age, a little bit older. They're all P-platers. It's 4 hours drive from here. It's one of the biggest dams in Queensland, I believe. It takes a whole day to drive around it. There's water outlets and fishing spots all around the dam. So the first thing I did, as soon as he told me, I wanted to say, no, you can't go. But I need to let him go and do what he has to do. So the first thing I was able to do was just to pray and hand it all over to Jesus, that he would protect him, he would look after him. And and we know Jesus was a man without sin, but he was still a man. And for me, the more I learn about Jesus, the more I love him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before the temple guards come to take him away, in his moment of anguish, but yes, Jesus had anguish, and because he was human, and he fell onto his knees, because he knew the scriptures. You know, Isaiah, 700 years prior to that, you know, quoted that the man of sorrows, he was going to be wounded for our iniquities, and so he knew what was coming. He knew he was going to have to die, and he was going to have to suffer all this pain on the cross. And he fell onto his knees, and he looked up to the Father, and he said to the Father, please, Father, will you take the cup of my destiny from me? Your will be done, not mine, he said. And that to me explains that he, in all of his glory and all of his divinity, was just human as well. And he had doubts, and that was a major doubt. And God actually had to send an angel to give him the strength to carry on the mission, what had to be done. And I look at that and I think, well, Jesus was a man, and he had the same troubles I do. He had the same worries, temptations, as all of us do. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God, every single one of us. And that to me, I just thought to myself, that seals the deal for me. He is the Lord and Saviour. And if you accept him into your heart and you confess with him your mouth, you will be saved. Amen.
Thanks, Scott. There's Scott Harvey. Thank you. I'll just like to pray for Scott. Yeah, Father, we thank you this morning that you brought Scott Harvey here to our church family. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for what he gives in service. Thank you for his story, some insights into his life today. I pray that Jesus, you'll become more real, more powerful in his life, and continue to bless him and make him a blessing. Thank you for his two children. We pray for them too today, and thank you for them and commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, James. God bless you.
Bless you, mate. Thank you. Now, time for the Bible reading this morning. And the reading is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. And Aman is coming to do the reading. And I invite you to stand for the Bible reading if you are able and if you would like to. It's an option, but if you need to stand and would like to stand, do now as the scripture is read to us. Thanks, Aman.
Today's gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I will tell you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Thank you. Please be seated. And we're now going to give our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And we're going to have some music played this morning, a song of Chris Tomlin, simply titled Jesus. And now if we're inside, we would have the words up on the screen, but we don't have the words up. But I just want to quote some of the words because it leads into the message of God's word for today. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us, Jesus, Jesus. There is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song that comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storm that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As our offering is received, the song will be played, Jesus, by Chris Tomlin.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is chains that bind us, Jesus, Jesus. Who
Please pray with me. We thank you, our God, this morning for the truth of what we have heard. There is no one like Jesus. We come now, our God, to the sharing of your word this morning and pray that we will receive your word as your children. Thank you for the privilege of speaking your word today. May the Holy Spirit be my helper, and may we not only hear the word, but may we leave this place this morning to do the word, to live the word, to be the word in this world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when you get to my age, which most of you know is 70, or in November I turned 71, you have lots of little stories tucked away in your memory bank. So when I think about questions, and I thought about my introduction to this message this morning, thinking about questions, this little story came into my mind. Now, Jan and I met in college in 1970. We went to college to do our training to be ministers of the gospel in the Salvation Army, known as Salvation Army officers. So we met. Now, rules were very strict. You weren't allowed to form friendships in the first year of college or to go out. I can't remember whether we did. Oh, who said that? Somebody said convenient. But anyway, in second year, I caught the train from Sydney up to the small town in New England of Yarralla with a specific purpose of asking Jan's father if I could marry her. He used to do that in those days. Some people still do it. So I arrived at their home and this question had to be asked. or the days passed by and the days passed by and I hadn't asked the question, and Claude, that was Jan's father, was taking us to the train at the station that night to head back to Sydney. And we're leaving the house at 7 p.m. and at 6 o'clock I still hadn't asked the question. So she said, you better do it. So I took Claude aside in the little kitchen in their humble house and I said, Claude, I'd like to marry your daughter, Jan. I'd like your permission. And he said, I'll think about it. So he took us to the station and put us on the train. And Jan said, how did you go? And I said, well, he said he'll think about it. Well, we got back to Sydney, and a few days later, a letter arrived. So I've got handwritten permission to marry his daughter. Questions. We often have questions, don't we? I read an article just this last week which said this: the most popular title for poems written by students at school in the United Kingdom is Who Am I? The most popular title for poems written by students at school in the UK, Who Am I? That's a question that arises often in the world in which we live today. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why, in this world in which we live, there is so much depression and so much anxiety. Indeed, it's suggested no more greater than now than any other time in our history. So the answer to the question on the modern tongue, who am I, could be no. Or to say, that's the wrong question. Who am I? Instead, ask the question, who is God? And the rest will answer itself, for we are made in his image. The revelation of who he is defines who we ought to be. So, I've got four questions this morning, and they're brief, don't worry. Four questions. Really, the first question that God asked, which I'm not going to concentrate on, was to Adam in Genesis 3:9, where are you? Remember that question in the garden? Where are you? God asked Adam. But I want to come right to our reading, which Aman read this morning, where Jesus says in verse 15, who do you say I am? I want you to think about that for a moment and imagine Jesus asking you that question this morning. Who do you say that I am? Now, some people were saying he was Elijah. We read about that in the scripture. Some were saying he was Jeremiah or a prophet. Some were saying he was a good teacher. Some were saying he was a great magician. Why would Jesus ask that question? Well, not for his own affirmation. No, he didn't ask it for that reason. He really wanted to make a difference in their lives. And so he asked the question, who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? A great prophet, a great teacher, the Son of God, one of the ways to heaven? What did he say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I want to answer that question for me in a moment, but I want you to think about it this morning. It's one of four questions. Who do you say that I am? Peter says, as is recorded in Matthew 16:16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Or Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And that's my answer. I can't think of a better answer for me this morning in answering Jesus, who do you say that I am, than the words of Thomas, my Lord and my God. Who am I? Jesus says. Second question, do you believe? Do you believe, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Now you might say, well, I'm here this morning. That's probably a good answer to that question. Do you believe? But what does that say about what you believe? Many people came to Jesus asking him to do a miracle. A miracle. A miracle of healing. Do you believe, Jesus says in Matthew 21, 22, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you believe. May our response to him be like that of the demon-possessed boy's father, who replied with honesty, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help me by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace that you give, not only to believe, but to live what I believe. Well, that's important as well. Not only to believe, but to live what I believe. Now, question three. Do you want to get well? That's another question of Jesus. And my third question this morning. Do you want to get well? Now, it seems like an odd question to ask a man who was a paralytic who'd been beside the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Do you want to be well? How do we translate that to today? Do you want to be well? We may complain to God about our circumstances or give him excuses as to why we are still in the same place year after year, physically, emotionally, spiritually, not having let go, not having moved on in any area of our life, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Do you want to get well? Do you want to move forward spiritually? Do you want to make progress emotionally? Do you want to get to a new place in God, where God can be all in all, not the situation, but God? The question, do you want to be well? And then my final question, and then 30 seconds to pull these questions together. It's amazing because I get Bible studies on emails like some of you do. And I got this Bible study a few weeks ago, and it was called 10 Questions Jesus Asked. And that's where I've gone with my message this morning, but I haven't got time for 10 questions. But it's amazing how these four tie together. And my last question is this. The question Jesus asked of Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? I've been going through an interesting journey, even at 70 years of age. I've really been focusing in on the commandment of Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, why do I say that? More than once in the last couple of weeks, I've been saying to the Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean to love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? And as we know, Jesus, asked the question of Peter three times after his most loyal disciple had denied him three times on the night of the arrest and crucifixion. It's a question, surely, that penetrates our hearts. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do I love you? Actually, he said to Peter, do you love me more than these? And surely things do get in the way. Another person, an institution, money, things. The psalmist says in Psalm 73 and verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you, Jesus. So, our four questions this morning. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. Do you believe? Do you want to be well? And do you love me? Now connecting them. If you know who I am, if you believe who I am, you will see me do great things and you will love me with all that you are. That's the way it connects. If you know who I am, if you believe who I am, you will see me do great things. You will love me with all that you are, with all that I am. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we pause to reflect on the questions Jesus asked this morning. You know us, O God. We're a mixed bunch, young and old, everything in between, some new to this faith, some still searching, some been on the journey a long time. And yet we believe there are important questions here that we need to answer. So in these moments of reflection this morning, help us, O God, to stop and say who you are, who we believe in, do we want to be well, do we love you? Help us to answer these questions during these moments of reflection, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is an old song, all right? But I love it. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. And the song makes a progression. It's a song that can be used at Easter time and a song that can be used at Christmas time. And it's a song that can be sung here Sunday morning. It's not Easter, it's not Christmas. But perhaps the most times it's used. Who is he? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. Now, this just came to me while I was sitting there a few minutes ago. There needs to be opportunity this morning for us to answer the questions. And you can do it in whatever way you like this morning. But I believe the Lord wants me to say this to someone this morning. Who is Jesus? Who is he? He is the way, the truth and the life. And he calls you this morning. This is for someone. I know it because the Lord told me. This is for someone. I don't know who. But Jesus says to you, step onto the way. Step onto the way. Take hold of the truth, for it's good news. And receive the life that I have for you. Now that's a word from God for someone today. I don't know who it is. Someone up there. Someone here. And as the song is sung this morning, I'm sure we all have questions that need to be answered. Take time to answer, to give, to surrender. But for someone here this morning, step onto the way, embrace the truth, take hold of the truth, and receive the life that Jesus was talking about when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As we sing the verses together, who is he?
Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord.
Sung together, who is he to whom they bring all the sick? Do you want to be well? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, can I add in mentally? Do you want to be well? He wants to make you well. He wants to make you well. And here in these final three verses, we will stand to sing, focusing on the cross. Who is he on yonder tree, dies in grief and agony? Focusing on the resurrection, the second verse, and focusing on the throne of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler of the world, who is he who from his throne rules through all the worlds alone. Just allow God to meet with you where you are and to meet your need as we stand and sing these remaining three verses, please.
Who is he? The tree dies in grief and agony. 'Tis the Lord, oh wondrous glory. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, crown. Lord. from the grave comes to help, help and save. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who is he who from his throne rules through all the world alone? 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all.
Our Father and our God, we thank you for meeting with us this morning. We thank you for ministering to us by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the one who has stepped onto the way this morning. Thank you for the one who has found healing this morning. Thank you for the one who has recognized Jesus in a new way this morning. Thank you for the one who has said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Thank you for the one who has said, "I love you, Lord, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength." Yes, Jesus, 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 we honor your sacrifice. We live the life you've called us to live by your grace and your mercy. Amen. Now, I had another song. We're going to sing it, Derek?
It's up to you. You're the boss.
It's up to me. No, I'm not the boss. The Lord's the boss.
You're the conduit.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Shout to the Lord was the last song. Do you want to sing it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, there we are. Popular abode.
My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonder of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you.
Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord, for the earth let us sing.
Thank you again for being here this morning. Again, thank you to the visitors that have joined us. Please come again. Please join us for morning tea up on the hall there, if you're able. You're most welcome. And a couple of people won't be surprised with the benediction I'm going to bring this morning. Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. But from the contemporary English version. I pray that the Lord will bless and protect you, and that he will show you mercy and kindness. May the Lord be good to you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.